ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. Anasuya, she was not capable today of giving the class, so I was a little bit late when I heard it, so I couldn't find anybody else, so you kind of stuck with me. I probably feel more bad about it than you, but it's questionable, of course, because you have to listen to me. Yeah, before I start, I would like to ask all the mercy of all the devotees, and also take this opportunity to ask for forgiveness for any offenses I've committed in the past months. I'm, you know, trying my best, and please forgive me. Okay, so we're reading from Canto 4. Let me see. The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 31. Narada. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Text number 3. I hope I get the meter right. We'll first do the word for word. Please repeat. Tan nirjita prana manaha vachaha drishaha jita asanan asana sorry shanta samana vigrahan pare amale brahmani yojita atmanaha sura asura ijaha dadrishe sma naradaha tanirjita prana mano vacho drisho jita sanan shanta samana vigrahan pare male brahmani yojitatmanaha sura sure yodadrishe smanarada. Of course there's many different meters, but this one sounds really nice. I think I forgot to say Om Namo Bhagavate, so I'll say it now. I'll say it again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After practicing the yoga asana, we do word for word first, sorry. I got a little mixed up here. Please repeat. Tan, all of them. Nirjita, completely controlled. Prana, the life air, by the pranayama process. Manaha, mind. Vachaha, words. Drishaha, and vision. Jita asanan, who conquered the yogic asana, or sitting posture. Yes, asana, thank you. Shanta, pacified. Samana, straight. Vigrahan, whose bodies. Pare, transcendental. Amale, free from all material contamination. Brahmani, in the Supreme. Yojita, engaged. Atmanaha, whose minds. Sura Sura Ijaha, worshipped by the demons and by the demigods. Dadrishe, so. Sma, in the past. Naradaha, the great sage Narada. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. After practicing the yoga asana for mystic yoga, the Prachedas manage to control their life air, mind, words, and external vision. Thus, by the pranayama process, they were completely relieved of material attachment. By remaining perpendicular, they could concentrate their minds on the uppermost Brahman. While they were practicing this pranayama, the great sage Narada, who is worshipped both by demons and by demigods, came to see him. Came to see them. Purport. In this verse, the words para amala are significant. The realization of Brahman is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is realized in three phases: impersonal effulgence, Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. In his prayers, Lord Shiva concentrated upon the personal features of para Brahman, described in personal terms as Snigdha Pravrit Ghana Shamam. Bhagavatam 4:24-45. Following the instructions of Lord Shiva, the Prachedas also concentrated their minds on the Shamasundar form of the Supreme Brahman. Although impersonal, Brahman, Paramatma Brahman, and Brahman as the Supreme Person are all on the same transcendental platform, the personal feature of the Supreme Brahman is the ultimate goal and last word in transcendence. The great sage Narada travels everywhere. He goes to the demons and the demigods and is equally respected. He is consequently described herein as Sura Suretya, worshipped both by demons and by demigods. For Narada Muni, the door of every house is open. Although there is perpetual animosity between the demons and demigods, Narada Muni is welcomed everywhere. Narada is considered one of the demigods, of course, and the word Devarishi means the saintly person among the demigods. But not even the demons envy Narada Muni. Therefore, he is equally worshipped both by demons and by demigods. A perfect Vaishnava's position should be just like Narada Muni's, completely independent and unbiased. Om Agyana Timirandasya Kinangina Silakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapanantikam Kam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langai Taikrim Yat Kripata Mam Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Palakamalam Sri Guru Vaisnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raganatam Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Panam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sundubhyebacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadhadhara Savasadi Ghora Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pancha Tattvamakam Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam, Bhakta Avataram Bhaktagyam, Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. I want to recite one more verse, it's especially for Gopinath. Let's see if you can find it. It's a very nice verse. There it is. Sriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Bamsi Vattathashtitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinata Shriyestunaha. And that means Sri Srila Gopinata originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Bamsivat and attracts the attention of the Gaur damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And I would like to reserve two more verses. Mother Jayabhadra, she taught me like this. And I really like always to recite them. So I will ask you to repeat after me. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narang Cheva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Nasta Prayeshu Vabhadreshu. Nityang Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nada Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Okay, so we're now entered a new chapter. And also Narada Muni has now entered. That is what this chapter is called. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Just for myself, just to get into it a little bit, and maybe you also like, I want to a little bit, recap where we are. So the Prachetas, they were sent by their father to meditate, or they were asked to progenate the, to give good offspring, because, of course, the father was their king, and he wanted to have. He already had sons, but he wanted to have grandsons, so he would know that, the kingdom would be in good hands. So they were preparing themselves, sort of like, in ISKCON we have like Brahmachari Ashram. So that is like a training to prepare for Grihastha Ashram. It's a very responsible ashram. And so similarly, this was in Satya Yuga. The Prachetas, they meditated for 10,000 years in the ocean. Prabhupada explains that sometimes, or most of the times, devotees go to the Himalayas, or yogis, but these yogis or devotees, they went to the ocean. And so they meditated, and then they came out, and then we had this whole pastime with these trees, and that they were burning the trees, and Lord Brahma had to come down, and he offered, or he asked these trees to offer this girl, that was a girl from the heavenly Apsaras, and who was raised by the moon. So it was a very special lady, and she married all 10 of them. And I think where we are here now, please correct me if I'm wrong, they already left here again the kingdom. Am I right? Yes. At last they remembered the blessing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and left home, putting their wife in charge of a perfect son, which was, it says that it's Daksha, but it was like the incarnation of Daksha. It seems that he had the same name. I'm not quite sure how that works, but it was already, Daksha was already the whole thing with Shiva already happened, and he had the head of a goat and then probably died, and now he got born again, and somehow we get this information that it was in fact Daksha, and he becomes the, because they're actually Kshatriyas, and as far as I remember, Daksha was like a Brahmana, so it's considered a lower birth, so it was kind of a punishment, kind of a reaction, and it's just to show us also, if you offend a devotee like Lord Shiva, that it has certain reactions, like Prabhupada used to say that the Yamaraj will not be lenient to the GBC. If you have a big position, then you get big karma. Like, for instance, I'm second initiated. And when my Guru Maharaj, Chaitakara, he told me, Yani kani cha papani, brahma hachadikani cha. that when you go around Tulsi, even the killing of a brahmana is you know, counteracted. So he said it works also the other way around. It means that killing a brahmana is really bad, but he said that when a brahmana does something bad, that's also, the reaction is worse. He said now you have to be very careful not to commit any more offenses, or at least try to minimize them, because the reactions will be more severe. So my Guru Maharaj, he warned me like that. So, and that goes for any position. I sometimes give the example of a judge. If a judge goes to the prostitute and they get him on camera, he's basically finished. They will tell him, look, you know, I mean, you know, you're a good judge, but you know, there's so much pressure from the press, you have to step down. Just take leave. And then if like a garbage man does that, you know, nobody will care. That's just how it goes. So we have to be careful. We have a very responsible position. So that is the kind of, you know, the inside of Daksha. So they left home. And then the second verse, that was the first verse. Now the second verse, the Prachetas went to the seashore in the west where the great liberated sage Jajali was residing. After perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal toward all living entities, the Prachetas became perfect in Krishna consciousness. This was lectured upon by Ramananda Roy, if I remember well. And then today we have this: after practicing the yoga asana for mystic yoga, the Prachetas managed to control their life air, mind, words, and external vision. Thus, by the pranayama process, they were completely relieved of material attachment. By remaining perpendicular, I had to look it up, it means straight. So they were either sitting straight or they were standing straight. I remember the picture in the ocean, they were all standing. But this is another... I think they were standing in the ocean, yeah. Yeah. I was just reading it, so it's a little bit... I was reading just now that it was an ocean, but I might be mistaken. When I read it, I was also thinking it was a lake. Now they left their home already, yeah. No, now they're just, I don't know... Yes, this is different. They went to the seashore, it says here. So it's different scene. Jai, Sisi, Radha, Gopinath, Alita, Vishakadevi, Ki, Jai. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because we all know this japa tape. I think most of us know it. And then Prabhupada says, sit properly. So... here also, it's parampara, eh? The Prachetas, I mean, they're instructed by our guru, Narada Muni. He is the second acharya. I was just reading Prabhupada says, because he's after Lord Brahma. He's the son of Lord Brahma. And, you know, by remaining perpendicular, they could concentrate their minds on the uppermost Brahman. So it's important. Okay. In this verse, I'll a little bit read the purport. In this verse, the word para amhala are significant. So amala means pure, and para means transcendental. Or here, amala is translated as free from all material contamination, which is the real purity. You can take a shower, and you can put on a nice suit, but that's external purity or external cleanliness. We also need to be internally clean. And that is the real amala, the real purity, free from all material contamination, so external and internal. The realization of Brahman is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the famous verse, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sabhyate. The absolute truth is realized in three stages, three phases: impersonal effulgence, Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of God at Bhagavan. So I'll just explain it shortly. We have Krishna. He is in the spiritual world outside of this universe, and he expands himself. And there's many expansions, but for now suffice to say that you have Mahavishnu. Then he expands himself in Garbhadakasai Vishnu, and then there is Kshiradakasai Vishnu. Kshiradakasai Vishnu is the super soul, and he enters every atom, and he also has his own planet in the Milk Ocean. He's also called Keshava. Mangala Chitra, as he was telling us. Mangalavati, as he was telling us. He's also called Keshava. So, one important thing, because, you know, Prabhupada, he is Namaste Saraswati Deva, Gauravani Pracharina, he is preaching Lord Chaitanya's instruction, Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschkistadesha Tarana. He came to deliver the Western countries and to preach against impersonalism and voidism. So this is very important that we always keep repeating this. I think Kirtanananda once asked Prabhupada, why are you always preaching against Mayavadis? And then Prabhupada said, because you are a Mayavadi. You know? So we have this tendency, like, you know, I used to be, I didn't really think of myself as a hippie, but, you know, sort of a hippie. And, you know, I also was infected by this impersonal philosophy. And most of us, anybody who is a little bit spiritual before they come to this movement, you know, most likely they are infected by this impersonal philosophy, which is what came also from India. I was explaining yesterday that there is a specific history. So we have Lord Krishna, and then we have his king, Yudhishthir, and then his nephew, or his, how do you say that, grandnephew, the grandson of Arjuna. He became the king, Parikshit, and then gradually things started to decline. And then people were, you know, misusing the Vedas, and they were eating meat. So then Lord Buddha came, and he was preaching this Sunyavad, that everything is, you know, it's all illusion. It's all nothingness. And then after that, Shankaracharya came, who is actually also Lord Shiva. And he preached against Buddhism, and he brought people back to these scriptures. But at the same time, he wrote the philosophy in such a way that people got confused. And where the confusion is that they think that this impersonal Brahman, which is, well, in one sense it's difficult, but in another sense it's not so difficult to realize. You can do certain yogic exercises, and you can see this light. You know, and that light is actually the Brahman. But the explanation that we get from the Bhagavatam is that this Brahman effulgence, it's actually coming from the body of Krishna. It's all light particles. And what I understood is actually every light particle is a different jiva, it's a different soul. That's why you can't really become one with the Brahman. You become part of it. Like the soul is a light particle. It's very, very tiny. So all these Brahman lights are, in fact, jivas. That's my understanding. But the point is that it's a spiritual light that sort of shines through the spiritual world. And since the material world is described like a cloud, so that same light also shines through that. That's how I understand it. So that's the impersonal effulgence, and it's very, very powerful. And then, I already explained a little bit, you have localized Paramatma. Atma means the self. Paramatma means super self or the super soul. And he's inside every atom. And like I explained, he also has his own planet. And then, of course, you have Bhagavan. And Lord Shiva concentrated upon the personal features of Parabrahman, which is Shamasundar. And it's, let me see if I can read it for you. 424... 45. This is from the song sung by Lord Shiva. And this is the whole verse. Shnikta pravrit gana shaman sarva sundharya sangraham charev ajata chatur bahu suyata ruchirana nam. That's 45. Then you also have 46. I'll just leave that. The translation is, the Lord's beauty resembles a dark cloud during the rainy season. So that's Shyamasundara. As the rainfall glistens, his bodily features also glisten. Indeed, he is the sum total of all beauty. The Lord has four arms and an exquisitely beautiful face with eyes like lotus petals, a beautiful highly raised nose, a mind-attracting smile, a beautiful forehead, and equally beautiful and fully decorated ears. So that is from the song sung by Lord Shiva, which was what the Pachaitas were meditating on before. So Lord Shiva instructed them to meditate on the personal form of Lord Krishna, which Prabhupada says is the highest step of self-realization, is to meditate on Bhagavan, not on these other two. They are kind of preliminary stages of understanding. One thing I wanted to mention here, because, you know, to connect this purport, because Prabhupada is quoting this purport, and it's about worshipping Bhagavan, you know. Although, in fact, here, which is kind of interesting, Lord Shiva speaks about the Lord who has four arms. Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna's beauty is so pleasing that even millions upon millions of cupids can compare to it. The Lord's form as Vishnu is decorated in all opulence. Therefore, Lord Shiva is trying to see that most opulent form of Narayan or Vishnu. Now, this is the important part. Generally, the worship of the Lord begins with the worship of Narayan or Vishnu, whereas the worship of Lord Krishna and Radha is most confidential. Lord Narayan is worshipable by the Pancharatrika Vidhi, or regulative principles, whereas Lord Krishna is worshipable by the Bhagavad Vidhi. No one can worship the Lord in the Bhagavad Vidhi without going through the regulations of the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Actually, neophyte devotees worship the Lord according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi, or the regulative principles enjoined in the Narada Pancharatra. Radha Krishna cannot be approached by the neophyte devotees. Therefore, temple worship, according to regulative principles, is offered to Lakshmi Narayan. Although there may be Radha Krishna Vigraha, or form, the worship of the neophyte devotees is acceptable as Lakshmi Narayan worship. Worship according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi is called Vidhi Mark, and worship according to the Bhagavad Vidhi principles is called Raga Mark. The principles of Raga Mark are especially meant for devotees who are elevated to the Vrindavan platform. And I wanted to read one more point. Prabhupada says, if we do not follow the regulative principles on the Vidhi Mark platform and keep our eyes trained to spot offenses, we will not make progress. Of course, we should always try to train ourselves to spot our own offenses. Like, you know, I have to wake up Sri Sri Radha Gopinath once a week. And I know I make so many offenses. I haven't learned the mantras yet, so I have the piece of paper still. And so we should always be... It's another sign of humility that whenever we do something, we think, oh, I should have done better. I should have done this better. So we should always be in that consciousness. Prabhupada says, keep our eyes trained to spot offenses. So we should keep them trained. That means eternally. We should always be on the lookout that, oh, I am actually offensive. And I wanted to mention that actually, that like I was asking for the blessings, and I was kind of meditating on it this morning, that you know, I'm kind of puffed up, you know. And then I was saying that to one devotee, and he was saying, but why are you puffed up? What are your qualifications? You know, this is the real problem, you know, that we generally have not so many qualifications, and then on top of that, we get puffed up. And then it becomes very difficult for the spiritual master and Krishna to help us. So at least, if we can be a little bit humble, then there is some hope. But it's also my realization that these things go kind of hand in hand. If you're puffed up, then automatically you disqualify yourself. It's sort of, you know, because when you're very, like they say, pride comes before the fall. So when you're very proud, you don't spot so many mistakes that you have. So that is kind of a recipe for disaster. And if you're very humble, that you think like, oh, you know, like Arjuna, he was saying, Krishna, I don't know what to do. Please tell me what to do. And then he fought like a lion. You see? So, but first he asked his guru that, what should I do? So that's a sign of humility. You know, and also in the deity worship, of course, we always ask, well, actually, not that our guru assist us, we actually ask that we can assist our guru. That's why the picture is there. It's actually understood that we are assisting our guru. I'll try to finish now. Following the instructions of Lord Shiva, the Prachetas also concentrated their minds on the Shamasundar form of the Supreme Brahman. So Prabhupada concludes this paragraph: the personal feature of the Supreme Brahman is the ultimate goal and last word in transcendence. That's another definition of God. Eh? There is nobody higher than him. And there is nobody higher than Shamasundar or Krishna or Gopinath. And then, you know, I have to speak a little bit more about Narada Muni. Because now he's, as they say, he's on the scene. Eh? While they were practicing this pranayam, the great sage Narada, who is worshipped both by demons and by demigods, came to see him. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing. I mean, I might as well say it because I kind of prepared it. One thing that came to mind, of course, is the six Goswamis. And it's in the Sri Sri Sat Goswami Astika. Dhira Dhira Janapriyo. It Prabhupada's translated here. They are just like the ocean of love of God. Preman Ritam Bho Nidhi. And they are popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians, because they are not envious of anyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone, and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. So that's why we also have these prayers in the beginning. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Akadama Yam Dadati Swapanantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, when will he give his mercy to us? So we are in their line. They are our gurus. And we should also, and to some extent devotees have that. Some devotees, they go to the prison, you know. So these are ruffians. But the devotees are very much appreciated. Because, you know, devotees, they bring books and prasadam. So like that, devotees, they can follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis and of Narada Muni, and be respected by demons and demigods alike. In other words, by the devotees and the non-devotees. So, yeah, we should try to develop intelligence how to do that. And like, you know, like I said, you know, humility. We're just discussing Bhagavad Gita, and the first thing that Krishna says, which is knowledge, is humility. This is the first thing of knowledge. He's giving all these different qualities, and Prabhupada says it all starts with humility. And Bhakti Charaswami mentions that there's nothing worse than being unthankful, and this also comes from a certain pride. So the guru, he basically pulls us out of ignorance. Like here Narada Muni, he comes to save them. And later in the chapter, the Prachetas are excusing themselves. Like, well, we almost forgot the prayers of Lord Shiva. We got completely entangled in this Grihastha ashram. And please, you know, you preach to us and help us. And so, you know, we should always be very thankful to our guru and our gurus. That's the other verse. Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Gurun. So we give our respects to the guru and all the other gurus, like Srila Prabhupada and, you know, Rupa Goswami, Narada Muni. So we need their mercy. Like here was said that the Goswamis, they have they're fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Like now Gaur Purnima is coming up. It's Saturday the 19th of March. So we can work towards that. So that we get fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. So it's not so many more days. It's like two big weeks, you know. And then it's Gaur Purnima. So we should gradually, little bit more and more meditate on it, because there's, you know, I also feel that every Gorpanim gets more important, because the Sangratan mission is like, now the temple is being built in Mayapur, you know, it's huge. The foundation is being laid, so we can all send extra prayers that you know, they can finish their job, you know. So gradually the Sangratan movement is manifesting. The golden age is manifesting gradually. So we can pray to Lord Chaitanya. I think I can stop there. Thank you very much for listening so attentively and for being so kind to me. Please, any question? Yes. Right. It's called Sarvaga. Sarvaga. Everywhere.
And there's another point in that related to. How is it that the soul needs to be there itself? And, you know, that I am only one soul. So I had this question to and he said that this is Raja's soul.
Yeah, to be honest, this is a little bit of a controversial topic. It's called Jiva Tattva. So I prefer not to get into it. But what I want to say is that our acharyas, we were discussing it yesterday with Madhva Acharya. He established, and all the acharyas did, and Prabhupada is also doing it here, they painstakingly are telling us again and again that there is a difference between the soul and the super soul, and between the soul and matter. So especially for our preaching, we should focus on that, you know, because people, like we're talking about Mayavadis, they all the time confuse this. They confuse that the soul and matter are the same. So that should be our main preaching. Yeah, well, when I was reading it, I was thinking of Prahlad Maharaj. The scene, as I remember it, was the demigods slaughtered the demons, and they were just about to kill Prahlad Maharaj's mother. Actually, Indra, he was about to kill her. And then Narada Muni came, he said, no, don't kill her. She is carrying a special son. And so he saved her, and he took her into her ashram, in his ashram. So that was one thing that came to mind. I also was reading that before Narada Muni, before, because it's a very intricate, it is Bhagavatam, it's a discussion between Maitreya and Uddhava. And I wanted to say something about that too, but there's just no time. But Narada Muni was also with Dhruva Maharaj, who was also, he was born in a demoniac family. And then, you know, another example I gave, that devotees, they sometimes go to the jail, and they give prasadam and books. And that is also, I think it's also by our humility, that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Patita Pavana, the savior of the most fallen. So the devotees, they try to follow in his footsteps, and Nityananda's footsteps, who try to, you know, get Jagai and Madai to chant Hare Krishna. So devotees, they're in that mood. Like I was in Amsterdam, and he had this one devotee, and he was so serious about food for life. And it was really the most fallen, you know, all kinds of people who didn't have any house or anything to eat, and we were feeding them. So I think like that we can become very dear to... right. Yeah, I don't know exactly how the history is, but you know, his mother was, of course, you know, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. So, you know, if you don't respect somebody, then of course it was also an emergency. But you know, they didn't. I never heard anything bad that she was in Narada Muni's ashram. They never said that why you were in Narada Muni's ashram. You know, so it seems that, you know, he's just transcendental. Because demigods generally are good. That means they're still under the mode. That's actually another point I wanted to raise, that we have to be very careful that we don't cultivate these material desires, because we might end up in the heavenly planets, because we're doing a lot of punya, pious activities. And this morning we were praying that let me just become an animal just as long as I can be in the association of devotees. Of course, demigods are also kind of devotees, but I think that prayer refers to pure devotees. So we should really, really be staunch about that, that I want to be associating with devotees. Because demigods are goodness, so they're still a little bit under the modes. But a devotee is transcendental. And I think that the demons or the ruffians, they kind of sense that. That's what I felt with the Goswamis. They were so austere and humble, they didn't have any possessions. That, you know, like a thief, what is he going to steal from the Goswamis? They didn't have anything. The thieves generally are poor, you know, unless they're really expert. But, you know, so they're a little bit envious of rich people. And they think when they rob somebody that, yeah, why you have all that money? Give it to me. But these people, these Goswamis, these persons, personalities, they were so poor that, you know, so. Yes. Yes. Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. I remember one scene in Paris where Prabhupada was giving the lecture and he was sitting on Big Vyasa-san, and the French, you know, they kind of chopped up their king. I think they were the first in Europe to kill their king. So they're really not into these kind of things. So they were kind of getting a little bit agitated. And then Prabhupada was talking about Varna Ashram, first class, second class, third class. So then this man came up and he said, "So you think you're first class, right?" Something like that. And Prabhupada says, "No, I'm fifth class. I'm the servant of all of you." But he said it with such humility that he melted the whole audience, and that was it. That the whole thing was neutralized. Because it was spoken with genuine humility. So, like that, you know, we have to become very... And Prabhupada really felt like that. Yes, last question. Yeah, because they are not envious of anyone, that's why they are there. Yeah, that's another reason. Yeah, that she was mentioning that also, because people have position, then the demons, they get worried that, oh, maybe he wants to take my position. And then there's a slight bit of envy, then people pick up on that. Because the soul, it's in the heart, eh? And the soul, it's Satchit Ananda Vigra. Chit means full of knowledge. So he can sense that. It's covered by ignorance, but still like an animal or even an insect, it can sense certain things. So people can sense this envy. Okay, we need to wrap it up now. No, it's okay. Yeah, and we know from Bhagavatam that Hiranyakashipu is in fact Jai or Vijay. And yeah, of course, he's a pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So Prabhupada many times said that about the parents of his disciples, that the fruit, you can judge the tree by the fruit. Of course, at the same time, Prabhupada many times stresses this, that is not the way to worship Lord Krishna, like Kamsa did, you know. We should not do that. It should be, what is that, anukalyana? It should be favorable. So, but we don't know exactly why that is all, it's kind of, although it's a lila, it has to do also a little bit, I think, with karma. These laws are very intricate, why somebody gets born specifically there. I mean, only Yamaraj and Krishna knows these things. This is very, difficult to exactly say why. But one last comment, Prabhu? Right. Yeah, that's a nice point. They say it takes one to know one, or you catch a thief by a thief, you know. So one devotee told me we should be careful not to incite the other devotee's false ego. You know, you should be very mindful of that. That you know, because Prahlad Maharaj is para dukkha dukkhi. He suffers when he sees others suffering. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that I am para dukkha sukhi. When I see somebody, you know, suffering, then I'm enjoying. And when I see somebody is enjoying, then I'm suffering. So he is saying these prayers because the conditioned soul is like that. So we have that tendency, like when I get up in the morning, I have like... And then when people are too happy, I get like disturbed, you know. So this is para dukkha sukhi. You know, this is demoniac, actually. But we should be careful that we should think, oh, this devotee, he's got a good, you know, humor. That's very nice. We should try to... Anyway, so we should really try to appreciate the other devotees and not to agitate. And then we can become, you know, like the six Goswamis. And, like I said, we can get Satyam Mahaprabhu's mercy. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.